This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Another great day, another great guest. And the next 2 weeks are really going to be at the very top of the guest list. And of course, it starts out with the mayor, Ernest Burgess, who is the esteemed mayor of Rutherford County and one of my good friends, and also his wife, Peggy, who was one of my classmates. And I want to say hi to Peggy. And don't worry, we'll get through this hour okay. I don't care what anybody says. And Ernest, I tell you, and one thing Brian alluded to, and I was going to talk to you about it, is I know you're going to have to retire one of these days from being the mayor. And we were discussing this earlier, and I am looking for a partner to be on my show. And if I last that long, how do you think, would Ernest and Truman, or Truman and Ernest, how would that sound to you?
Well, I really believe they're hundreds of more people more qualified than I am for that, Truman, and I hope you'll just keep looking for that better person.
Well, I can tell you. What do you think, Brian? I think he should be high on the list.
I think that was a great political answer.
And we're not supposed to have political answers today. We're going to be ourselves today.
You need a partner in crime. Get that little pun there? A little pun.
I have plenty of partners in crime, believe me. And I mean, just going to tell you some of the people that's going to be on this week. Newt Malloy is going to be on, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. And one of them, he was out of town for about a week, and he got to be with some of his old military buddies, and they still get together. And I think that's such a great thing, because this one guy just kind of keeps them all together and to be able to share a lot of old memories and things that they do. Unfortunately, we won't be here Wednesday because Atlanta will be on, but I will be listening. Peggy Vaught from Las Casas and Milton will be on, and we'll get the lowdown on that end of the community. Friday, we will have Cheryl Rogers Barnett. And if you don't know who she is, that's Roy Rogers' daughter. And she will be on Friday. And also on Saturday, she will be over at the Patterson Park Community Center. And that will be from 1 to 4 p.m. They'll show Roy Rogers' movie, and she will discuss some of the interesting things about Roy and Dale, and I'm sure Gabby will be part of the conversation. And then next week we'll have Susan Taylor on, Greg Tucker, Liz Bennett, Tommy Hoard, and Matt Murphy, which will be on Friday. So we've got a great, great bunch. We have somebody that just walked in, Fred Goodwin, and brought some great stuff from Roy Rogers. All right. Well, I just want to let the people know that this is going to be Roy Rogers weekend, so everybody be prepared, and we're going to have a fun time. And I know Ernest will probably be there because he likes to wear cowboy boots with spurs and things like that. I think that's how he keeps the county commission straight. And I want to mention, I don't like to talk business and politics much, but I do want to mention to the people out there, before we get started, because I'm afraid I might forget it, how much I admire the way you do your business with the county. We have been blessed. I know the times have been extremely unusual in the last 8 to 10 years, economically and socially. A number of things have come up that were almost impossible type situations to deal with. Ernest, you've always dealt with them with the type of demeanor that should be. I mean, you always handle things with class, and you're able to solve the unsolvable problems as they come along. And I just wanted to get that out of the way, because I really have admired the way that you have done your business and handled it. And that's a promotion from Carolyn and Vicky and all the other people that that work with you? Because I bet they're all listening today.
Absolutely, and without them, I couldn't do what we're doing. So, I mean, I'm still asking questions about how government works and those ladies and other people in all of our departments that have been here so much longer than I have. They're still helping me every single day, and I do appreciate that. We can't do it without them.
Well, don't be asking on the radio, because I'll guarantee you we'll be underwater in about 2 minutes.
That's right.
The phones will all light up. Now, you grew up here in Rutherford County, and you were a city boy, actually. You're from Murfreesboro.
Well, let's don't go over there. Let's go all the way back to Blackmon.
Okay.
And before that, let's go down to Stewart's Creek.
Oh, my gosh.
In a little house down there, a little 80-acre farm.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was actually born. Then I lived in Blackmon.
In Stewart's Creek.
Yeah, Stewart's Creek.
Actually, I did know you were from Blackmon, but I did not know Stewart's
1939,
Creek.
They tell me that it was so cold that winter that water froze on the hearth at the fireplace.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a bitter year, but anyway, a good year for me.
Was that before electricity?
Well, I think we had electricity, but, you know,
you were living in high cotton. We didn't have electricity.
But I'm sure they were using wood to burn and coal in the fireplace.
Now, where did you go to school from there?
Well, the first 4 years I went to school, I went to what we call the training school then,
which is
now the campus school. And then, of course, training school had limited openings and seats. So when my brother couldn't get in the first grade at the training school, so that we both would stay in the same school, we moved over to Critchlow.
Oh.
So we were over there. I was through the seventh grade, and in the first year that Mitchell Nielsen was open, I was in the eighth grade. So I was in the first class, the first graduating class from Mitchell Nielsen Elementary, which it was grades 1 through 8 at that point.
Now, did you have Miss Pittard, Miss Mabel Pittard?
Yes, I did. And I recall that we had probably, I think I saw some pictures. You were over there. I saw your picture.
I was.
But in the eighth grade, there were about 35 of us in that eighth grade class. And Mrs. Pittard, all of you know how small she was.
Yes.
But a tremendously gifted teacher. And I can't remember a single time that she had any problem with discipline in that group of about 35 eighth grade students.
If you go on back, I don't remember any problems with discipline anywhere as long in the K through 8. I mean, we didn't have K back then, but 1 through 8. I don't remember anything like that.
And when we got over to high school, of course, we had Homer Pittard. And he was large, and nobody gave him any problem over there. And then Mr. Phillips, of course. So
when you were at high school, I know you remember, since we're talking about Central High School, do you remember the early morning when the first bell went off, somebody had strode those little firecrackers all over the bottom floor, the second floor, and up the stairway? Do you remember that?
I don't remember. That must be after I graduated, and your class must have done that when you were about a junior or senior.
For some reason, I thought it was your class that did it. I don't know why.
I don't remember that, though.
Oh. Well, you were a pretty tough little kid, because I can remember some incidents, especially talking to some of the guys that were, you and I are just 2 years apart, and just barely 2 years apart, but some of your classmates said that you were one of the toughest young people that they ever had to deal with, and we're talking about maybe tossing a few blows at each other.
Well, that's been reported. I can't quite remember all of that. I was too small to get into too many fights, but I was probably pretty tough from hard work on the farm.
What were some of your duties, a task?
Well, I can milk a cow by hand.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
One-handed or two-handed?
Well, both hands at the same time. We don't want to work with just one hand. We got to move along with that.
Right.
Don't want to take too long. I can haul a lot of square bales of hay. I have hauled a lot of square bales in hay. In fact, when I was a sophomore in college, I took one quarter off from college.
Oh, my.
Went to California with my cousin who had bought two balers. We hauled those two balers from Rutherford County all the way to California. He and I put those, and one other man, put those balers together. We assembled them when we got to California. We baled, while I was there in a matter of 3 months or so, 24,000 bales of hay. And I hauled them. The other men, I hauled all that hay and, you know, out there. So we've done a little bit of everything, wow. starting with hard work.
How did you get that particular job to do that? How was that set up?
Well, I mean, you know, when you own the farm, you do anything you right. have to do. So, right. you know, I had that work ethic, and my cousin, my first cousin, who had been out there for some years previously, needed some help, so he recruited me, and I don't know, I guess it sounded like an adventure of sorts, and I said, yes, we will go.
You know, I wish that the kids today had the opportunities that we did back then, because you had very little time to get in trouble because you were always busy doing something, and if you weren't playing with the kids in the neighborhood, then you did have jobs. But a lot of people, if they've never hauled hay, that is one tough job, especially when it's warm, and usually you haul at the peak, the hottest time of the
That's
year.
Right.
And did you ever get have the ability to set the size of the hay bales at a certain length where they wouldn't weigh 120, 125 pounds a piece?
No, we didn't get that option. And these were bales that were tied with wire.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's harder because you have to wear gloves.
And a lot of this was alfalfa, so that's heavy hay. I mean, mm-hmm. 100, 120 pounds per bale. But we didn't think anything about that. One man drive a truck, and one man get on the back of the truck, and we had an automatic pickup, and it would pop them up on the truck, and you'd have a hook in each hand, and you'd handle that bale of hay with your hook, and you just put about 150 bales on the truck and take it on to the barn.
And the toughest job was being on that wagon.
Oh, yes.
You had,
we
once they threw it up there, you had to stack.
We would take turns on that. That's right.
My brother really fixed me up one time. He was in North Carolina, and he and I owned a farm, and he forgot to tell me when he was gone that he had ordered to have the hay baled and it needed to be put up. And it ended up with my wife driving the truck and me throwing the bales up on the top of the wagon and then getting up there, over 1,000 bales in that one day. And you can imagine what my hands looked like when I got through.
I can, that's right.
Now, you had other jobs when you were on the farm, and you talk about milking and talking about hauling hay.
Well, occasionally you get to drive a tractor, but that was
the fun part.
Oh, that's the fun part. That's the easy part of it. That's right.
Now, who were some of your neighbors or some of your buddies when you were growing up?
Well, down in Blackmon, there were a whole bunch of them. We can start with Jimmy Harris, Donald McDonald, Buster Lane.
Oh, my goodness.
And the list goes on down there, but they were there. And in fact, all of those were we were all in the same class in high school, so we spent a lot of time together there. So Beverly Cotter was there, and Faye, and Lassie McDonald, and a whole group of folks there. So I spent many years there with that wonderful community.
And they are wonderful people. I know Faye goes to the same church that Barry, my son, goes to, and Barry and Kim. And she always sends a message, wants to know how we were doing and all that. She is such a sweet lady. And of course, Beverly... she went from Cotter to Higdon,
right?
And you know, there's so many of our friends that it's amazing. You talk about Old Central, and you talk about Mitchell Nelson and Critchlow and all that, but the memories stay with you. I mean, all those friendships that you're able to bring close to you, they never end. And I'm constantly amazed, just like Peggy's got her bunch that she keeps in touch with all the time that were from our class of the late 50s. And you do the same thing, and we try to. And, you know, I think that's part of the stability in our lives was not just our parents' influence and our teachers' influence, but also the influence of the friends that we've had all these years.
Yeah, it's very, very important. Yes, Mr. Herschel Mullins lived right across the street from Mr. John Cotter, who drove the school bus out there, and Jim Mullins and Charles Robert Mullins and Thurman. So a lot of history goes way, way back.
And he was in the jewelry business back then. I mean, he was on the square for
forever. Yes, right.
It seemed like well over 60 years.
Right. He's just
and now Jeff, he's in the business now, and he's still carrying the Mullins name on. And you went to college here, I believe, at MTSU first, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I first signed up to go to University of Tennessee, and I was going to take engineering, and I was going to go into what's called the co-op program. You work a quarter and you go to school a quarter. But something changed all that toward the time for me to make that final decision to go up there. And I may have even had some little scholarship, I don't know. A young lady sort of came into play there, and I just decided I just didn't really want to leave Murfreesboro. So
is that one of the Bryant girls?
That's one of them, that's right. So that was 50. Well, all that started back when I about before I graduated from high school in 1957.
I remember when you guys were dating. Yes.
So, we got married in 1959, and I was already a sophomore in college then, and graduated in 1961 from MTSU.
And you carried on from there.
Well, I went to work at Arnold Engineering Development Center, ARO, which was the contracting company for the Air Force base up there, and I was there for a number of years.
Why were you interested in ARO to start with?
Well, they had good jobs.
Yeah, and they did pay well.
I had a degree in mathematics, and they wanted people that could support the engineering work that was going on there, and that was a natural fit. And I went to work in what was called the scientific programming department, and I wrote literally dozens and dozens of programs. This means technology. This means those kinds of things that would stimulate and emulate modeling of aerodynamics and all that in partnership with the engineers. And so during the whole course of that, there was the UT Space Institute was up there, and they offered courses, and I took courses, and over a period of time, I took enough of them to get a master's degree from the University of Tennessee.
That's amazing, because you have always, ever since I've known you, and we go back to high school, even at Mitchell Nielsen, you have always been able to focus on things that a lot of the other kids, I know that my mind is always jumping all over the place, but you've been able to stay disciplined just about more than any kid that I knew of back then, and it didn't seem like that... you ever got out of that? Because I know that you've been mayor, and I've worked with you over on a number of situations, you never let it go. I mean, you stay with it. How in the world do you stay as disciplined as you do?
Well, you know, some of that just might be what you're born with, you know, that kind of attitude and that kind of approach to life. And, many of us like you and others that... didn't have too much when we were young. We were determined to do something, to make something of ourselves, and to have a reasonably good life. And I guess we thought, and I think we're losing some of this, but during our young childhood and early childhood, we knew that the only way to succeed is two ways. Number one, first, hard work, and secondly, get a good education along with and do the best you can. So with that, and you continue to work hard and with a little bit of good luck, you could be successful and you could accomplish something. So it's just part of what we grew up with and the mindset that society put forth out there. And that's really what's made, I think, so many people successful and the country successful like it is.
I think that's one of the reasons that you're perfect for where you are right now, being a leader of Rutherford County. And you want to maintain... In a way, the type of lifestyle that we had back in the late 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and you're out to protect that, but you also have seen the fact that growth is necessary. I mean, but we try to maintain a certain quality of growth here in Rutherford County, and that's what's so good about people who grow up here and have seen how this county has evolved from the times that you and I were footloose and fancy free to the problems that are now. And these are problems that just happen to occur when the economy is the way it is and where the growth is. And a lot of people do not realize how blessed we are to have someone like you that has all of the tools that's needed. And one of the things I was going to ask you, and I really don't want to get into the business too much, of what you do, because I just like talking about you more than anything. But you've got 21 different people, 21 different personalities from 21 different parts of the community with 21 different goals for what they want to do. And when you go home at night, how in the world do you keep your sanity?
Well, you know, I've been around a few years, and over many, many years, I've had to deal with a lot of people at every level, at every station of life. So, you know, as long as you're practicing those principles of treating everybody with respect and dignity, you can just about get along with anybody. You may disagree with them, but as long as you show respect and dignity and you listen to them and you try to, you know, have a reasonable approach to what their ideas and suggestions are, they will respect that. They'll treat you with respect, and sometimes you don't always wind up on the same side of what you're actually trying to discuss, but it makes for a relationship that you can build on. You can recall when you first came here, we had some discussions and some communications, and we had to learn to sort of understand what the other person's desires and needs were, and sometimes you might get what you want, and I might get a little bit more of what I want. But anyway, over a period of time, you cultivate an ability to communicate in a way that that other people can sort of understand. And they know that you told me a time or two recently, not back when you was the sheriff, that maybe I was too serious all of the time.
I still tell you that.
They still say, but in any event, if people know that you're not fooling around, not trying to yank them around, jerk them around, but you're really trying to do what you think is the best for them and for the others as well, then somehow things just sort of come together.
I think it's what you mentioned a minute ago. I think the key word is respect. If you have respect for another person, and you can deal with them through almost any type of situations. And as you know, we had some pretty tough problems to tackle back then, and it's going to continue on. I mean, it wasn't just back then, but I always admired the way we worked together, and a lot of it is that I respected you enough to know that if I had something special that I needed done, and if you felt like that we just really didn't have, I guess we're talking about the revenue more than anything, then there wasn't any need to go any further. We would continue to try to make do with what we had, and that's what we did.
One thing you ask about, how do we deal with 21 people that have different agendas and ideas, etc. The first thing any leader has to do, it has to be willing to do anything that you're asking anybody else to do. So you got to be willing to work hard, and I think maybe work just a little harder. You set an example, you set a tone for what's happening. And the old Boy Scout motto of be prepared. Nothing works better than having good information, having good factual data from which to make a decision, and not just be using whatever comes into mind, but have the data that really supports whatever decision you're trying to make. I think maybe, even though I don't use my mathematics anymore, except arithmetic, maybe the ability that you learned in when you have to try to solve problems, logical thinking, and having to prove a theorem or prove what you're trying to get someone else to agree with, it pays dividends.
Yeah, but I have never seen you walk down the street at high noon to face whatever the problem seems to be, unless you have both six shooters on your hips and they're both loaded, because every time you're the only mayor that I can ever remember that made all of the meetings. And I told you when you first started, I said, you're going to kill yourself if you try to keep up with it. Well, I was wrong. You're still going strong, and you never miss one, because there's always things that you need to know, and if you get it secondhand, it's not going to be near as valuable to you. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of Assisted Living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
And today, special at Kirk & Birch is our award-winning smoked wings. This is Tom. Come over and get you some. They're just 40 cents each. That's Kirk & Birch, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater. Or call in your order at 893-FOOD.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
You know, on hot days, fans and air conditioners do save lives. And if you have an elderly loved one or friend who's alone, check on them on these hot days. Be sure that they're okay. And if they need a fan or an air conditioner, you need to get in touch with Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program. His number is 818-2459. Perhaps you'd like to donate some money to purchase a fan or an air conditioner for a needy person. Make a check out to the Cool Aid Program and take it by First Bank on Memorial Boulevard. Once again, Dwight Ogleton's phone number is 818-2459. I'd like to remind you that this coming Tuesday, Middle Tennessee Medical Center's health screening is going to be over at the Scales Elementary School. Now, this is for health screenings for persons age 18 plus, and it includes free lab work for your blood, checking your heart, liver, kidney functions. It also tests cholesterol, glucose, iron, sodium, and potassium. You need to drink plenty of water and fast 10 to 12 hours prior to the lab work. But if you're a diabetic, do not fast. Keep that in mind. For more information about Tuesday's health screening at the Scales Elementary School, contact Kathy Farrell at 631-7739. And the National Night Out Against Crime is Tuesday night. It all starts at 5 o'clock. It'll be over at the Patterson Community Center at SportsCom, over on January Street at Oakland's Historic House Museum, and also the Barfield Park and Rogers Park. And for our listeners in the Laverne area, it's at the Veterans Memorial Park starting at 6 o'clock Tuesday night. Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Mainly sunny this afternoon, high in the upper 90s. Tonight, mainly clear, low near 69. Sunny on Tuesday, high of 98. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 93.
If you're sick, you don't go to a vet.
So let a mechanic change your oil.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care on Southeast Broad.
Radio listeners get a standard oil change and full service for only
$24.95. Mr. Shelby, come and see me at day.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
Today's guest, County Mayor Ernest Burgess.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll give you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
Mayor's over here patting his foot up and down. I mean, this is his type of music, his type of show.
And they got live music at the Reedville Mill, I understand, too.
Haven't been there yet, have you?
We have planned to go two or three Saturdays, and every time we plan to go, we have another event that we've been invited to that we have to attend. I'd love to go.
Tom Brady told me that he wanted me to tell you the next time I ran into you that they've been missing you out there, and especially want Peggy to come out. But Tom Blankenship, or John Blankenship, band is out there every Saturday morning, and you know Ken and Sarah Frizzell and Avent Lane, they're all part of the group, and it's open from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they play a lot of country western songs, and of course you're going to be hearing a lot of that Friday and then Saturday with Roy Rogers' daughter is going to be on. But when Tom refurbished the mill, he did a first-class job. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful place. It's right there on the river. Almost will be 200 years old next year, and it's one of those places you can go out and forget all your problems, and if anybody needs to forget their problems, it's you, Ernest. You need to learn to loosen up. You need to get out there, take some of your old friends. You can take me and buy my breakfast, and we could go out there and sit next to the river, maybe throw a few lines in the water and catch a few fish or whatever. But it's such a wonderful place to go, and you can get there by going down the John Bragg Highway, go about 8 to 10 miles, and then turn left on the old Woodbury Highway, and it's a couple of miles from there. Go past one of my old home places. And when you go in, you will see people that you haven't seen in a long time, because it's where everybody converges from Rutherford County and Cannon County on Saturday morning. And if you want to reach them by phone, it's 563-6455, or on the internet, www.readablemeal.com.
Yeah, I was in there after Tom, you know, refurbished all that. He did a really remarkable job.
You know, it's one of those places that we really should use more, because you can't find anything like that anymore. I mean, you remember when the old Brown's Mill, I mean, it fell in a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, and he has a dream of someday, hopefully, getting that water, the dam repaired, so that the water can flow back through and actually run the mill itself. I mean, he's running the mill now, I guess, off of electrical power. But anyway, that's a dream he has, if he could ever jump through all the hoops that the federal government and the state government require to allow remedial work to be done on a dam that's washed out over many, many years ago.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they were able to do that? Which I hope they can, because, Rutherford County has so many historical draws anyway. I mean, people come here just to what they've read in history. I mean, what happened during the war and things like that. But before the war, this is really a very unique community here that you won't find anywhere else in the world.
That's right. A great community, and always will be.
Now, one thing about it with you is you always have a connection and work up a friendship, no matter at what level and wherever you are. And you and I had the honor of attending a wedding this last Saturday night, and it's the first time I've ever been there. You've probably been there before, but I usually don't walk in those circles. We went to the Legends Golf Club over in Brentwood, and they had a very unique wedding. It wasn't at the country club. It was actually in a church, and I think it was a Church of Christ church.
Yeah, it was a small, very old Church of Christ right there on Franklin Road.
And I think it was trying to absorb the heat by just having tall ceilings. I think they were about 20 feet high, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think I felt any air conditioning in that place.
But it was comfortable, and they had a great wedding, and that just made it all worth it.
You tell the grooms, guys, that it was comfortable.
Well, they had those tuxedos on, though. That made them a lot hotter. Always does. That's right.
Did it remind you of when you and Peggy got married?
Well, not really. We got married in the original North Boulevard Church of Christ building over there North Tennessee Boulevard.
Yeah,
I remember that many, many years ago.
I remember the old North Boulevard. Of course, it was, I mean, actually attended some of the classes that they would have over there when they would have summer sessions over at North Boulevard. And it was a great place. Actually, that whole area brings back memories to me, because we're talking about one of our teachers a minute ago, and I haven't really mentioned his name, but Gilbert Sharon lived right down from there. And he was, I don't know if you had him in the seventh grade or not.
I didn't have him. I was thinking he was, wasn't he the first principal over there at Mitchell Nielsen Elementary or not?
No, no, he wasn't.
He wasn't the first one.
No, there's a lady. I cannot think of her name.
He was the principal later on, I guess.
He was, yeah. Actually,
I tell you, he might have been the football coach at Mitchell.
Well, that's how I ended up there.
Yeah, he was the football coach. Yeah. I was on the football team in the eighth grade at 110 pounds soaking wet.
I remember you.
And he recommended me to go over there and play for Mr. Payton. Of course, you know full well, at 110 pounds, you can't play center on the football team.
Well, no, you couldn't play center on the football team.
But we tried one year anyway.
Did you actually play for Mr. Payton a year?
Oh, yeah. And you know, Mr.
How's the memories of Mr. Payton?
Oh, he was strictly business. I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
Strictly in business.
Strictly in business, and discipline was the rule. And he would have, I don't remember too much about what happened, but, you know, he had a whole playbook of stuff. And he would get us together and ask every player what they're supposed to do on that play, where were they supposed to go, who they supposed to block. Well, a lot of the players didn't know. And if they didn't know, he'd ask me. And I knew what every player was supposed to do on every
I'm not
every
surprised
play.
At that.
And he said, boy, I sure wish you weighed about 150 or 60 pounds so you could play some football. but anyway, he was a quality person.
Now, you and Mr. Pate are really not that different in personalities. He was one of those people that was focused, and he could not get away from the fact that And you're not this way. He couldn't get away from the fact that other people could not see and do what he was seeing. Yeah. And he was an extremely formidable type person when you were dealing with him, when he was on your case for whatever the problem might exist. Yeah. But he was a lot different than Gilbert Sharon. Now, Gilbert Sharon was just the opposite. I mean, he was focused on doing the right thing. But he was always had seemed like his hand on your back patting you at the same time.
I guess Mr. Pater decided if you let up just a tiny bit, it'd be like the camel getting his nose under the tent. Everything would come loose, you might say. So he didn't let up any.
Now you played center at Mitchell Nielsen.
I played center at Mitchell Nielsen the first year they had a football team.
And that was in.
That was in 1957, year 56, 57.
Uh-huh. That's amazing.
Four years before that, Truman, excuse me.
Yeah, we had some, actually back then they seemed like big guys on the team, but they really weren't. We had some, Ray Troop was, to me, huge.
The only thing I remember, and I don't even know who we played, the only thing I remember, I played defense too, is I tackled somebody in the end zone for a safety. That's the only points I ever scored. So I don't know.
So you had some speed.
Oh, I don't know what I had.
You had to have.
Somebody fell down. I guess I just ran in there and got him.
That's some of the most fun times. I was telling some people earlier, that's how I ended up at Mitchell Nielsen, the city schools. I played baseball for Mr. Sharon, and he wanted me to play football for him.
And played basketball.
Uh-huh.
You played basketball too,
did,
I believe.
Did.
But I only played when it was a runaway game. I think I scored.
I think that you're not telling the truth.
I am telling the truth. I'd scored 2 points at football and 2 points on the basketball team. I got into a game and somehow they fouled me a couple of times and I made 2 foul shots. So there's the basketball career.
Well, no wonder you studied so hard.
That's right. Couldn't make it any other way.
That's awful. It's a wonder that didn't affect you for your whole life.
Oh, it did. It did. A very big inferiority complex.
Now, when you'd have neighborhood baseball games, do you remember when we used to put a bat up there and everybody would reach over at the handle of the bat and then when you got to the top, then that would be the first one you would pick.
Well, we didn't play baseball out there at Blackman. We had too busy working. We couldn't come to town to practice on a team back then.
I don't remember Blackman being that boring.
Well, it wasn't boring. That's just the way of life was.
I think that's warped you. how in the world could you grow up in the county?
We had a lot of fun out there.
What, milking cows and hauling hay?
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Now, what did Billy do?
Well, Billy came along 4 years later. See, yeah. Life began to change.
Uh-huh.
And we...
I don't remember Billy being that industrious for some reason.
And he did play baseball.
Baseball,
yes, he did. And the only thing I remember, we lived on the farm out there. Mm-hmm. My dad was the farm manager for Mr. Elliot Stockard.
Remember him, yes.
And they had the International Farm All dealership for farm equipment. And they had, you know, I think they had the SO fuel distributorship as well. But anyway, Mr. Elliott came out there one day, and we were standing outside talking. He walked up, and first grade, I was just got out of the first grade. He said, "Ernest, did you pass?" I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Okay." He reached in his pocket, gave me a dollar, I think.
A dollar back then?
Back
wow.
Then, yeah, a lot of money. And Billy was standing there, and he said, "I passed the school bus." he wanted his dollar too. He was only but couple of three years old probably.
And see, Billy married one of the Stegall girls, right?
That's right, Beverly Stegall.
Beverly Stegall. And all those Stegall girls were just absolutely gorgeous, weren't they?
Oh, yes, very much so.
I remember all of them in school, and it was just a sweet bunch. What were some of the things that you remember the most about Old Central and going to high school there?
Okay, Old Central High School. Well,
that's the one out there on Main Street.
On Main Street. I remember there was some sort of teacher strike one year when we were in high school. I don't know whether you were there yet or not. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I can remember all the kids sort of hanging out there around the school just wondering what was going to happen. Something happened there, and we'll have to get somebody that's a historian to research this for us, but something happened and school was shut down for a little bit. I don't know exactly what.
I remember there was a strike. I can't remember exactly what it was. I bet if Ms. Ordna Black is listening, she can call in. Now, I do remember a strike that we had in our class, and I have spoken about that before.
Maybe the kids, I don't know what it was. Something happened that disrupted school, and we weren't in school at the appropriate time. I tell you, one of the things that was interesting, and you probably remember this, back then, if the teachers and principals, if some boys was trying to get at each other and have a fight, instead of them doing something individual to punish them, they just, after school was over, they had some boxing gloves. And they let those boys put those boxing gloves on and just get outside wherever they could get and just have at it. And that's how they resolve difficulties. So
I remember that. But you weren't one of them that did that.
I never did do that, but there were a few others that did.
Oh, I can remember that. Do you remember the old Tiger Den?
I remember that very well, the very year they started all that. Yes, sir. And you know, that whole building there, on the other end of it, on the east end of that building, was the woodworking shop. Mr. Donald O'Brien. And quite honestly, we had a group of young men that produced really some tremendously high quality furniture products. I don't know whether y'all were still doing that after you got there or not, but
no.
Every year we would put on display in that gymnasium all the furniture that had been made. And I'm not talking about little small trinket items. I'm talking about bedrooms, suites, the whole thing. I mean, everything you can imagine. We would more than fill that gymnasium up with good stuff. There were people like Joseph M. Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You know him.
Yeah, Irene's brother.
Irene's brother. He was really skilled. Mm-hmm. I made a lot of things, some nice things, but he had an affinity for that. He was just really did a good job. So lots of things happen. Now, we love that so much that 1 hour a day wasn't enough. And this would be something that some surprised someone didn't get hurt. We would go, and of course, this was heavy equipment in there, major pieces of electrical equipment for planing and all kinds of other saws and stuff. We would go back in the building after hours.
Did Mr. O'Brien know that?
No, he may have known it,
yeah.
But it happened, and we shouldn't have done it, of course. And people, I mean, they just loved it so much. They just really couldn't get enough of it and produced some really high quality to work there that to this day.
Isn't it wonderful to be in a time like that? Because if you were to do that now, they would be, I mean, just the liabilities in itself.
Well, they should have. It was really something we shouldn't have done. But we didn't think there was anything wrong with that, I guess.
Now, what did you do with all the furniture that you made?
Well, we still got it. I've still got a lot
of it. Oh, you got to keep it yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we bought the wood and stuff. Uh-huh. And he just taught us how to make the stuff and used all that equipment. It was a tremendously sophisticated workshop, and it was really nice stuff.
You know, I wish that I had taken that, because I have no skills when it comes to woodworking, but it's something I have always been told. I have a number of friends that have retired, and that's their hobby is woodworking. And they say it's the most relaxing thing in the world that you can do.
It would be a really tremendously good hobby. Yes, it really would.
Now, your wood that you bought, I presume that would be like oak and cherry and
walnut.
Walnut, which is extremely expensive now.
Yeah, more walnut and cherry. And Mr. O'Brien, he lived out on Kingwood Drive, and he had no children, and he let us come out there to his place. He had a building full of all kinds of wood back there that he had made available. So it was just something we did a lot. We'd visit him, we'd work with him, and it was just a tremendously good learning opportunity.
Now, did Mr. Rogers follow him?
I don't know.
Because I don't remember Mr. O'Brien. Now, did his wife teach also there?
She taught, yes, she did. I think she taught in the business department.
Yeah, okay. Now, I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah.
They were very sweet people.
They were wonderful people.
Now, the old Tiger Den, a lot of people don't, if you don't know Old Central, Tiger Den was the place to go for everybody after hours when they would have dances and things like that. And, you know, I didn't get to spend any time hardly in Tiger Den because Mr. Pate would not let the football players go over there to a dance.
Yeah.
It was too distracting. So you got to be a little bit more, you had more range than
That's
I
right.
did as far as and, going through school.
And the band members, they weren't prohibited, so they could come to Tiger Den. And that's where all the pretty girls were in that band, a lot of them.
There was a lot of them.
Marcia Porterfield,
right.
Irene Carter, and
uh-huh.
Peggy Bryant, and Nancy Smotherman, and all.
You're trying
on.
To make points now, aren't you? Because most of them are listening.
Oh, yes, I'm sure they are.
I think Marcia's supposed to be coming up pretty soon
visit
up here.
You sure need to get her and some of those other girls on here.
You know, I've been trying, and of course, Peggy, your sweet wife, Peggy Bryant, is one of the ones that I have been after because she keeps up with all those ladies, and they're still very close friends up to this day. And I do want to mention that we're thinking about Nancy right now because she has been through a lot of problems, and she's still fighting, and we think an awful lot of her. And we're talking about Nancy Whitworth Smotherman, and I want everybody to keep her in mind.
Absolutely.
And, you know, our class and your class, the classes in the 50s seem to put out a great product of people all across the nation. And they were all so successful. You were successful in business before you became mayor, and probably the most qualified person that I can remember to ever be mayor here. And my question was, at that time, you had no need for a position like that, but something attracted you to become mayor of Rutherford County. Was it anything other than just a touch of madness or something else?
Well, it must have been a little bit of a touch of madness, but really and truly, you know, the older we get, mm-hmm. the more we realize that we're only here for a little while.
That's true.
And if we've got some experiences that we can use, that we can build on, that might help, mm-hmm. and might serve someone else, then everybody's got sort of needs to step up and evaluate what they can do and do their little part.
It's not a job that everybody can go into. I mean, it is one of the most complicated businesses that you can think of, and when you call it a business, it is a business. And because there's so much money involved and so many different aspects of it, was it like you thought it was going to be when you came in?
Well, it's more difficult than I thought it would be. The time that it takes to get a decision made, It's pretty frustrating for a person that's just
been in the business,
been in the private world, whereby in a matter of a few days or a week or so, you can usually get all the executives and the leadership within an organization to make a decision. Sometimes it takes a lot longer, and you have to go through a lot more channels to make things happen. So it's a you have to have a lot of patience and to work through the system and not let the system overcome you.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. They think that you have to treat every job in politics like it is a business, and you try to, but everything is different when you go into a governmental business. It's not one of those things that you can put your hands on, and as you said earlier, take care of it right now. You just can't do it.
Well, and you think the mayor is sort of the chief executive officer, like comparable to being in a private organization,
right.
But you have to remember, sort of, yeah, that's true, but you've got seven or eight other elected officials that by constitutional right have their own little offices, and they don't actually report to the mayor. In other words, the mayor has to use persuasive abilities to make things happen. You just don't tell them they're going to do it this way. So it's a learning experience in that respect.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mayor Ernest Burgess. One of our new sponsors is At Home Care, where they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and they're right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. You can reach them at 713-4639. Or check out their website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And what they provide for you is a service that I think that we will all need at one time, and many need it right now. As you get older, you have a harder time taking care of the task that you have to take care of at your home. And none of us wants to leave our home. And they provide a person's ability to remain at home, and they go in and take care of the errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many other things. And they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're having any specific times, whether it's an age problem or you're having physical problems or whatever, and you just need help, give them a call.
A vehicle you buy from Stan McNabb Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg, and a vehicle you buy from another dealer may look alike, have the same equipment, be priced the same, but the truth is they are very different. Only the new or pre-owned vehicles from Stan McNabb has the oil change and tires for life at no additional charge. Save hundreds, even thousands, with their oil change and tires for life when you purchase a new or pre-owned vehicle from Stan McNabb. Buy with confidence at Stan McNabb. Learn more at stanmcnabb.com. See dealer for complete details.
It's The Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
Time went by too fast. I mean, it's one. I had a lot more things to ask to Ernest about, and nothing that would have really embarrassed him too much, but some things that I had some people ask me to maybe interrogate you a little bit on some of this stuff, and it's gone by. Is there anything that you want to share with anybody, Ernest, out there, as far as your friends or maybe some of the people that you've known for a long time, whether it be a negative thing or a positive thing? It's up to you. I mean, this is one of these shows that it gives you a chance to strike back. If there's somebody you want to slap, I mean, Jimmy Harris told me before we went, before he knew that you were going to be on, we were talking about you, and he used to tell me about some of the fist fights that you used to have.
Well, he remembered those better than I do, but I'm great friends with Jimmy, and I just appreciate him and all the other people that made me a better person over many, many years. The only thing that I think happened there that I don't regret that, since I got another young lady that I think was a good choice, a better choice, is that Lassie McDonald told me and others, we rode the school bus together, that she wasn't going to let me be her boyfriend because I fought too much. And most of the time we were fighting, Jimmy and I were probably scuffling on the school bus that John Carter was driving. So anyway, that's the only one thing I remember there. But I've always respected Jimmy and had a good relationship with him.
Well, I didn't realize that you and Lassie were sweethearts.
Well, no, we never were, because she wouldn't be my sweetheart because I fought too much, she said.
And a lot of people, if they don't know Lassie is a tremendous artist. I mean, she can do anything.
And Peggy and I have 3 or 4 of her paintings, and we're just really proud of those. They're beautiful. She does a tremendously outstanding job, and I congratulate her on that, using that talent and that ability.
Did she have an exhibit here in Murfreesboro and at the courthouse one time?
Yeah, I think she had it over at the City Rotunda, uh-huh. I believe.
And some beautiful stuff. Yes. I went over there and saw some of it.
I have one of her paintings in my office.
Oh.
I brought just one of them up here, and I'll take that with me when I do leave there. So I won't give that one to the county.
Is that the one where you have a personal drawing of Andrew Jackson, that she did it while he was sitting on the horse or something?
No. It's right next it's right next to that one. It's a scene. Outdoor scene, a beautiful scene.
Well, we better get out of here before we both get in trouble. I want to let you know that it was a wonderful, wonderful show today, Ernest, and I really enjoyed being with you like always. And tomorrow we'll have Newt Malloy on, and I'm sure that we'll be talking about the trip that he just went on, and we may even start talking a little bit about General MacArthur while we're at it too. So you have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.